4 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Thanks, Paul. I've always been fascinated by news stories about people who are celebrating really advanced birthdays. You know, every once in a while you see a news story about somebody who's 105 or 110 or sometimes even more than that. And invariably, it seems the news story, sort of sets the stage, and then it goes on to say, well, this person says that they lived so long because of what they ate. There's some food that they point to, like Cheesies. I saw one that they said, "I lived so long because of Cheetos." Let me show you one here. This is Ruth Benjamin of Marshall, Illinois.
Come on, Ruth.
That is so pretty.
You think you can blow those up?
Come on, Wendy.
More. Perfect.
Yeah. Ruth Benjamin is surrounded by friends and family for a very special occasion, her 109th birthday.
I've been happy. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. And I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I never drank liquor in my life. And I had one husband for 43 years.
Ruth was born in 1908. She was a twin and one of her parents' six children. Later in life, she worked at Quaker Made in Terre Haute for 43 years. And while her life may be more quiet now, she used to always be on the go.
I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Niagara Falls. I've been about everywhere.
Dr. Jim Turner of the Cork Medical Center is Ruth's doctor. For having a 109-year-old patient, you'd think he'd have a long list of doctor's orders.
What do you do with someone who's 109 years old? And my answer was, absolutely nothing. You know, we don't need to do anything. She obviously has a wonderful cardiovascular system, wonderful immune system. And someone like Ruth, less is best.
Now, as for a key to Ruth's long life, Dr. Turner attributes that to her attitude.
Hard work, a loving family, a wonderful marriage. As you saw, she never drank, she never smoked, but she was happy. And I think that was the key to her longevity.
But if you ask Ruth's opinion on her secret to success...
I have potatoes some way every day.
Okay.
And I love kraut.
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 Okay. Well, we better start eating more potatoes and kraut.
Yes, and I love bacon.
There you have it. The The secret of long life, potatoes some way every day, kraut and bacon. Sounds like a pretty good life. Sadly, though, even if you ate potatoes and kraut and bacon every day of your life, you would still die. Sorry to be a downer, but that's just the reality. And not just because of the bacon. You know, we eat food, and that food gives us life, but the reality is that we all die. We all face the end of this life. Wouldn't it be great, though, if the end was not the end and there was some hope of living forever? Well, as Bob read for us in John 6, Jesus is here saying to us, it is possible to live forever. And there is, in fact, a food that you eat that leads to eternal life. Join me in John chapter 6, and I'll show you what I mean. John chapter 6, and we'll start around verse 24. Now, you can tell from what Bob read for us that we sort of started in the middle of something. And what happened before the reading, what happens at the beginning of chapter 6, is that Jesus does this very famous miracle. You know, there's thousands of people gathered to listen to him teaching, and they don't have anything to eat. Someone comes up and he says, well, there's this kid with five small loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Jesus takes the bread and the fish, and he gives thanks to the Father. He breaks them, and he distributes them to the people and ends up feeding thousands and thousands of people. That's a pretty amazing thing, and that image becomes pretty central to Christian consciousness early on. This is a mosaic from an early church by the Sea of Galilee called the Church of the Miraculous Distribution or something. You can see the fish and the bread, a very famous image. Well, the next day, the same crowd shows up, and guess what they want? They want some more bread. They would really like to get more of that bread that Jesus gave to them. Now, Jesus loves their enthusiasm, and he is glad that they're there. The only problem is that Jesus' primary goal is not to feed people bread. Jesus' primary goal is to give people life. And so he takes this bread metaphor and just runs with it. Now, the rest of this literary unit, the rest of this story, is Jesus and the people talking back and forth, and the themes and ideas loop back and forth and switch back and cover old ground, and there are themes that are very clear. They're just tightly interwoven. So what I want to do this morning is pull them out and highlight the big ideas, the most important ideas in this dialogue. I want to summarize Jesus' teaching in John 6 with one sentence that has 4 points. Jesus is the true bread sent by the Father to give eternal life to all who believe. That, in a nutshell, incorporates all the ideas that we keep seeing again and again in John 6. Jesus is the true bread sent from the Father, sent by the Father to give eternal life to all who believe. Jesus is the true bread. You know, the people coming to him wanted to have some bread. They wanted to have that thing that would give them life. You know, we generally live in a culture where we have a lot of food and we have a lot of choices. And so it doesn't really occur to us how important daily bread would be for less well-off countries and people and times. You know, in some places and times, food is really a life and death issue. If you eat, you live. If you don't eat, then you starve. And bread is a pretty staple food in a lot of cultures. Scholars figure that the average Israelite in Jesus' time would have gotten 50 to 70% of their caloric intake from bread. And so you can see how important bread was to them. You know, I remember backpacking around France, and even then I knew, okay, everywhere I go I can get a baguette, I can get bread, and as long as I've got a stick of bread and some water, I'm going to be okay. So these people come to Jesus and they say, give us some more of that bread, would you? Now, Jesus understands that they need bread. He's just given it to them yesterday. But he knows that they need more than bread if they are ever truly going to live. And so he takes this image of bread and he says, listen, that's me. The life-giving quality of bread, that describes who I am. He says, I am the true bread. You see it in verse 35, again in verse 48, again in verse 51. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. Jesus says here to us, I am true bread. Bread literally gives you life when you eat it. Jesus says, when you eat true bread, you will get life. Now, to the people who are listening to this, if they think bread coming from heaven, they're going to think of something. Israelites wandering in the desert, bread from heaven, oh, it's manna. Jesus is making a reference, they think, to this manna, heaven-sent bread that came down and fed the ancestors for 40 years. And so they say to Jesus, well, listen, we know that Moses gave our people, our ancestors, our fathers, bread for 40 years as they wandered around in the desert. That's a pretty impressive thing. I mean, he fed us yesterday, but can you keep it up for 40 years? What makes you think that you are as impressive as Moses is? At which point Jesus says, whoa, 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 hold on. It was not Moses that gave your ancestors bread. It was my father who gave them bread. That's verse 32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given them bread from heaven. It is my father who gives you the bread from heaven. This is why I'm using the language of true bread. This is not just an earthly thing. This is true living bread. Jesus says to them, essentially, you know, God gave your people bread to carry them through the desert. God now is doing it again. The Father this time has given you the bread to carry you life. And that's a good thing, because as good as the manna was, it didn't make them live forever. You know, verse 49, your forefathers ate manna in the desert, but they died. But here is the bread, he says, that comes down from heaven. Here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. See, Jesus is the true bread sent from the Father. Why? To give eternal life. The Father sent the Son into the world so that anyone who eats that true bread will never truly die. That idea of eternal life through this bread is so central to this passage that Jesus says it like 8 times. I've given you a list, I think, on the next slide of all of the verses. The most clear is verse 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. That idea is echoed again in all of those other passages. It's clear as day. If you eat the true bread, you will live forever. You will have eternal life. Even if you die, that is not the end. It is a doorway into the next stage of life. And Jesus actually says that 3 times. He says, okay, look, literal bread is going to fail you. And barring Jesus' return, all of us are probably going to experience death. But if we have taken in true bread and consumed that true bread all of our lives, then that's not the end. Jesus plans to raise us up on the last day. Verse 39, verse 40, verse 44, he says it again and again. If you have made the true bread the staple of your diet, then he plans to resurrect you back to life at the end of this age, just as Jesus himself was back 2,000 years ago. That's a tremendous promise. And it's actually a promise that is rooted in the very will of God. Like, the Father sent the Son to be the bread. Why? Verse 39, that the Son would lose none that God has given to him, but raise him up on the last day. This is God's will, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The promise of eternal life through living bread is rooted in the very will of God. And if God wills it, it's going to happen. And guess what? God wills it. When we come to Jesus, sent by the Father to be the life-giving bread, then we're going to live for him. Of course, that begs the question, well, how does that work? How do I eat life-giving bread? Because I want it. Jesus does say in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. But no one ever literally ate Jesus' blood and flesh. This is not a cannibalism thing here. How exactly do we partake of living bread? Well, Jesus says, verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes gets what living bread leads to, eternal life. Verse 40 is similar. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. 1,500 years ago, St. Augustine said, why do you make ready your teeth and your stomach? Believe, and you have eaten. Jesus says, when you take who he is, and what he values, and what he has accomplished for us on the cross, and bring it into ourselves and make it a part of ourselves, then we have eaten true bread, that true bread which God himself sent to give us eternal life. We receive life-giving bread, eternal life-giving bread by faith. Jesus is the true bread sent by the Father to give eternal life to all who believe. That, I think, is the message of John chapter 6. Now, that leads me to the point that I want you to take home today. When you make Jesus the staple of your diet, you are going to live forever. That's what I want you to take home and think about over the next few days. When you make Jesus the staple of your diet, you are going to live forever. You know what I mean by staple, right? The stuff that you always get from the grocery store, the milk and eggs and flour and all that stuff. Out of curiosity, I thought I'd look up the definition of staple food. Did I actually put the Wikipedia one up there, Tammy? No, okay, I left that one out. So this is what Wikipedia says. Always a trustworthy source, right? Wikipedia says, I trusted it on this one. A staple food is a food that is eaten routinely and in such quantities that it constitutes a dominant portion of a standard diet, supplying a large fraction of energy needs and generally forming a significant proportion of the intake of nutrition. Jesus ought to be our staple, right? Something consumed routinely and in such quantities that it gives us energy and life and strength. Jesus invites us to feed our faith in him daily, to draw strength from him, to make his thoughts our thoughts, to make his values our values. We don't literally eat him, but we internalize him to the point where our life becomes him expressed in us. When we do that, God promises that we are going to live forever. Bread gives life. True bread gives eternal life. God the Father calls us. No one, Jesus says in this passage, no one can come to the Father unless, no one can come to the Son unless the Father calls him. The Father calls us. He gives us the ability to respond and to believe. When we believe and take in this bread, then he will raise us up on the last day. If Jesus is the staple of your diet, then you are going to live forever. two implications. One challenge, one encouragement. First, what are you filling yourself with? You know, today, more maybe than in Jesus' time, there are many, many things that you can fill yourself with. TV and Instagram and crosswords and Facebook, all of those things are fine. There are things that consume us as we consume them. Social media, soap operas, those are not bad in and of themselves, but they're sort of like the junk food that you fit in around the edges of the staple meal, which is Jesus. We really need to make Jesus the meat and potatoes of our daily diet, as it were. If you look at the last part of this passage, verse 53 to 58 or so, Jesus keeps using this language over and over. He uses participles, particular forms of a verb that imply active, ongoing, continual motion or activity. And so verse 58 specifically says, "He who feeds implicitly, actively, continually on the bread of life will live forever." Jesus is not a fancy schmancy meal that you have once in your life at a really expensive restaurant. Jesus is like Wonder Bread that you take in every day as a part of your life. Are you intentional about reading God's word, feeding yourself from it? Do you actively take in things that will encourage you to grow in faith? You know, those other things that we take in are not inherently bad. We just balance them when we make sure that Jesus is the main staple of our faith. Watch what you consume this week and ask yourself, what am I filling myself with? Second, the encouragement. If you've made Jesus the staple of your diet, then you are going to live forever. Case closed. That's the will of the Father, that you would respond to his call to know the Son, that you would believe, that you would feed on eternal bread, on eternal life-giving bread, and live forever. God's will is that Jesus would not lose any that the Father has given him, but that Jesus would raise each of us up on the last day. If Jesus is your meat and potatoes, then you are going to live forever, full stop. I'll be honest with you. I've been in a lot of hospital rooms where things don't look good. And I've been in a lot of funeral homes, and sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I feel it from other people in the room. Where is the hope? Right? We're gathered at a funeral because somebody's dead. Where's the hope? It's here. Jesus is the bread of life that gives eternal life. If we have trusted in him, then this is not the end. Fill your heart with that the next time you go to a funeral. That if that person has fed on eternal life, then they're going to be raised to life again on the last day. You know, it almost makes me want to fill my pockets with bread the next time I do a funeral to say, look, this is not the end. And if this person has made Jesus a staple of their diet, then they're going to live forever. I am going to live forever. You are going to live forever. Bacon and potatoes and kraut are great, but they will not sustain you into eternal life. Jesus will. And if he is the staple of your diet, then you are going to live forever. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for that promise. That as we internalize you and rely on you and draw our energy from you, you give us life now and the promise of eternal life forever. Jesus, we know the pain of losing someone. And we know to varying degrees the fear of ourselves dying. And yet you have said to us so clearly here again and again that you are the living bread, that you are the bread that gives life, that the Father's will is that we would eat the bread by faith and that we would live. Jesus, we believe in you. We take you in. Lord, help us to lean on you and rely on you and draw hope from this promise that indeed we will live forever when we make you our staple. Jesus, I pray through this week that you would come in and tap us on the shoulder and say, what are you filling yourself with? I pray, Lord, that you would help us to work this out. It's not as simple as picking up a loaf of bread and munching it down. It's much more abstract than that. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come into our midst through this week and say, hey, pick up your Bible. Read it for 5 minutes. Take it in. Turn that show off and pray for a minute. Spend some time with God. Give somebody a call. Encourage them in Jesus' name. Jesus, we want to feed on true bread. And we ask for your help in doing it. Thank you for your love that made you willing to come to us. To be broken as bread. And to be given for us. For the forgiveness of sin. And for eternal life. Thank you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name.